like some sort of Samuel Beckett play. We have two teams dumped in the desert attempting to salvage meaning from a meaningless situation. On that dire note, this is our discussion of the Mako Las Vegas Bowl. Holly, from whence does someone derive meaning from this innately absurd challenge?
On the bright side, I know that this isn't where Boise State and Utah wanted to end their seasons, and then, you know, both of them were gunning for undefeated, and that didn't happen. But the good news is for us that if they both show up as pissed as they ought to be about being shunted off to the Las Vegas Bowl, we could actually get a good football game tonight, which would be a nice change.
There's already a little bit of anger because, as the Deseret News reported earlier this week...
Oh, right, pushing and shoving and broken dishes.
Bowl official Mark Wallington said it was more of a chest-pounding display, which was broken up by, among other people, a bartender with a water gun.
I love that, like, they're bad kittens. Like, no. No.
Like you spray them with water, they...
Actually, well, you know, both Chris Peterson and Kellen Moore are clearly hill people.
That's true.
So they may have been doing some of that, like, skittering hills have eyes type running at each other. But my favorite part about this incident report is the solemn wrap-up that says Utah moved to a lower level of the Hard Rock Cafe after the incident.
We had to put floors between them, people. Space. Stairs. They couldn't be in the same room, not without people supervising with beverage guns.
Hard Rock Cafe don't play.
Maybe they actually just sort of like, maybe I could see you running away if you got sprayed with like Coke or something particularly sticky and nasty, right? Like if you grabbed the beverage gun and you hit the wrong right. button and it was like Diet Slice all over your ass. Not that, you know, a beverage gun has had Diet Slice since like 1991, but still.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Bowl is always a little weird because it takes place at Sam Boyd Stadium.
Where Utah has already won once this year because they had to come play UNLV.
They did. And Sam Boyd Stadium's a high school stadium. If you've driven past it, it really is. Or if you've seen a game inside, it's a high school stadium. Big, not just open end zones, but like bleacher, open corners extending into the Las Vegas Metroplex, end zone bleachers. There is nothing fancy about it. One of the problems they've had with the stadium in terms of pitching a Pac-10 championship game is that it's still a glorified high school stadium. Also, one other weird side effect, it lets the wind blow. So if you watched, I believe it was Oregon.
December in Las Vegas is no mean thing.
Right. The weather can be a factor, especially in the kicking game, which we will discuss. Since that is a strength for one of these teams. Kyle Brotzman. By the way, did you know that the reporter who reported this, by the way, his name is Dirk Facer.
That's not real.
Dirk Facer and his friend, quote, Bronco Mendenhall, unquote. Fake names, witness relocation program, Utah is its center. Let's talk about a few things. First of all, this does take place in Las Vegas. Another really, really bizarre place to have a bowl game, only because it's Vegas. I mean, it makes sense in a lot of ways. There's a lot of hotels. There's gambling. There's all sorts of nonsense. But you should know that, of course, there are events, and they are bizarre. There is the hospital visit, which is always my favorite, which is football players coming to give children grave estimates of their general health, right?
I'm pretty sure that's what that involves.
Yeah, but they did get to go to show night, which was Mystere. And I maintain this is what the entire chest thumping thing was about, that Utah really liked it. That Utah was like, wow, they were so... God, those gymnasts... Did you see the part with the evil clown? The sinister evil Quebecois clown? That was just... Man!
You think maybe that Utah is kind of like in service of the OG Cirque du Soleil? Because I'm pretty sure Mystere was the first one they ever did. And... You know, Boise State is all down with, you know, oh no, their new Beatles show, man, their new Elvis show, they're changing with the times, and Utah's like, fuck you, we want clowns and umbrellas on tight wire.
Exactly. Yo, man, O forever. We down with the O. We down with Mystere.
Cirque du Soleil, if you're listening to this, send me free shit.
To hell with your new school shit. And that's, you know what, I like that theory, that they really started like having a serious beef over new school versus old school Cirque du Soleil. They also got to there was a ladies' luncheon and shopping spree. which
For all the ladies traveling with the team.
for all, you know, though, that's a great deal for the ladies, though, because, you know, like, there's probably like 12 women associated with the
If it
team
was in
who are.
that mall at Caesar's Palace, that could be all right.
No, that could be serious. But if they like just sent them to slots of fun with gift certificates, that would really, really suck. And then there is also the Fremont Street Experience pep rally, which I sincerely
Which
hope
we
if
have experienced ourselves.
right. I really hope if you were a Utah or a Boise State fan that then you got the ultimate Vegas treat on Fremont Street, which is Ice House on Draft
At Mermaid's.
and Mermaids.
That's also the place with the deep fried Oreos, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also the place that served Volkoff vodka as their like top brand shelf Volkoff, which means three or
Running
more,
with five or more
five
wolves.
or more wolves.
Yeah.
Very, so keep in mind when you ride with Volkoff vodka, five or more wolves. That's what a baller you are. Not four, at least five wolves. Let's actually talk about the teams a little bit
I don't
since.
know. I could easily spend the rest of our allotted time talking about that one night we all got stuck in Mermaid's.
What casino would be like the worst for a bunch of like 18 to 22 year olds to just stumble into? You know, like just
One of
happenstance.
the well, would it be one of the brand new ones, like one of Steve Wynn's new palaces, or would it be just the most, run down Glitter Gulch
I you know what I'm thinking the Sahara
Or
Lake.
like, yeah, one with all the old people, like the Flamingo or something.
I'm thinking the Sahara late night and done with and then like when all the really like aggro bros who've lost all their money filtered down to the Sahara, because remember
Yeah, and all that they've got that one little sports book that's like at the end of a hall, basically, that's just like a walled off end of a hall with a desk.
right and like one potted plant that sort of demarcates it from the rest of the casino. I think the Sahara would be the place that you wouldn't want them to end up, because that's how a brawl at a blackjack table starts when like I don't know, Shaky Smithson rolls up and like takes the last seat, right? He takes like third base, right? Takes the
Right.
corner and just screws up an entire hand by hitting on, you know, when the dealer's showing 15. Yeah, I'll take it. And that's how, and then some like,
His name's Shaky. What do you
and then
expect?
some aggro West Coast bro is like, bro! And he's like,
Whoa,
bro!
whoa, whoa. Wait, never mind. I figured it out because I just looked at the Flamingo, and Boys to Men is currently having a residency there.
Oh, that could be the end of the road for somebody if they end up there. So.
I see what you did there.
Anyway, let's actually discuss the teams for a moment. I believe you are tasked with Boise State. Please diagnose them going into this game.
Their trajectory is known to everyone. They knocked off a then ranked number 10 Virginia Tech and Labor Day weekend. They beat Oregon State 2 weeks later. Their only other ranked opponent was Nevada, and that's a game that you might have heard of where over Thanksgiving weekend they lost in overtime 34-31, putting paid to another undefeated season and another off season of griping about BCS justice. And honestly, we kind of didn't mind because we really, really, really like Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, you should know that Kyle Whittingham is of Utah, since I'm going to talk about Utah for a moment. 6-0 in bowl games. 6-0, which includes the 2005 Fiesta Bowl. So whatever Kyle Whittingham is as a football coach, preparing for bowls, giving a month, pretty damn good statistically. And that includes, of course, a defeat of our own SEC's beloved Alabama
Woo!
Crimson Tide. And oh, did we weep when they lost? No, it
Can I
was.
talk about that for a second? I
Yeah, go
was
ahead.
there, and I've never seen Alabama fans look like that in my life. And I've seen Alabama fans lose before. Like, I've been at Bryant-Denny and watched Alabama fans lose. I have never seen them so just quiet and hollow and alone looking. And honestly, it was really unsettling.
Yeah, that was one of those like take years off your life kind of losses, right?
But not in a fun way. Like nobody was reacting like you'd expect from a proper Feinbaum collar. They were shells of humans in elephant embroidered sweaters.
Well, that probably won't happen to Boise State. I'm just guessing
No,
because this
I'm
is.
gonna say it's probably gonna happen to Utah.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to happen to Utah because this Utah team is really sort of. They've been playing, I think, a bit of a Potemkin village schedule, right?
Yep.
This is that's their pattern. Remember,
And you can make a case for them showing up mad here, but shouldn't they have showed up mad to, I don't know, Notre Dame?
8-0 going into that TCU game, and then they go to TCU. They wear the world's worst Nike Combat Pro awful special one-time fake juice uniforms, and they lose 47-7. Like, if you want a balloon popped in this season, if you want to point to a game which was a block knockoff, 47-7, TCU going. That's at home, by the way. That's at Utah.
That's at home wearing the combat jerseys.
Right. The blackout. They had a blackout at Utah. The Mus all wearing black. They got destroyed by 40 points at home by TCU.
So, really, I don't think there's any case that they're going to get up for this game if they couldn't get up for Notre Dame. And also, Boise State is really good at football.
They are really good at football. If Utah does have any kind of advantage, which, by the way, they did lose to Notre Dame the following week at Notre Dame. You know, a 6-6 Notre Dame team. Not all that in terms of your resume. So, and their big win, like, they opened the year by beating Pitt in Tino Sinceri's first game. Like, that's really, really not, and that was at home.
And
as well.
it took them some doing to beat Pitt. If I what was like
27-24 in OT.
It was miserable.
Yeah, not a particularly well played football game. So a young team breaking in, Jordan Wynn as a starter, you know, properly, just not really a team that I think has a lot of quality wins on the schedule, and probably won't have one after Boise likely defeats them in this bowl game, but. This should be said, they do have a clear advantage in terms of a punt returner, one of the finest names in college football, Shakey Smithson. Shakey Smithson is not only a receiver, not only a punt returner, is also a kickoff returner. He does it all and was number one in the nation in punt returns. So that's one advantage they have. Also, Utah's been pretty good against the run. They're eighth in the nation in rushing defense. Boise likes to base everything off of getting a good push up front, establishing the run game, and then they run a bunch of, you know, mind bending Chris Peterson widgets off of that. So
that brings us to the name of the year on Boise State's team, which is not actually a name but a nickname in Doug Muscle Hamster Martin, their featured back.
The Muscle Hamster, yeah, Doug Martin and an outstanding pair of receivers.
Do we know from our Boise State bloggers whether or not, because if you haven't been following our Boise State blog, there is a Boise State fan who has been showing up to Boise State related football events in an actual hamster costume.
Yeah, a muscle hamster.
And, is he making the trip?
I don't know. He said that that road games. I talked to some people who knew him, and Muscle Hamster has a difficulty on road games because,
like, he's Che or something. I talked to a guy who knows him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we have a list. Somebody actually at Boise, when I was like, hey, do you know Muscle Hamster? And they held up their iPhone, like shielding it from me, and said, "Well, I have his number." like you call him, and he's on the wheel, right?
Like he's the wheel.
In the big sort of hamster wheel, and you know the phone rings, and he's like, "Hamster phone,
got it."
Muscle Hamster has a problem on the road games because he can't see behind him.
And right.
That's led to some serious harassment and borderline assault from rival fans.
I would imagine that fuzzy head really, though, would provide some padding to the interior human cranium from, say, broken bottles.
I think it would help. However, you get no heads up whatsoever.
Right. There's no peripheral vision in that thing. No, I'm told.
The other thing that should be mentioned in this game, too, is that though they have the advantage in punt returns, Utah also gives up a lot of yardage that way.
Also, when is Boise State going to be punting?
Yeah, that's true. Titus Young, Austin Pettis, Kellen Moore, Doug Martin, the Muscle Hamster himself. That's still enough offense to win this game because I don't think Utah can respond to any kind, especially against.
And by the way, also a scoring defense that's fourth in the country.
Yeah, a damn good defense. So it's not like Boise State's just now the one-sided whack team. Everyone should know by now. This is review, but you should know that their defense is outstanding, and it matches everything they do. They are a full three-phase team, which Utah is not. Is there anything else particularly relevant? There is going to be entertainment for the fans at FanFest. The name, by the way, is being kept. It's a secret, so we're not sure who's going to be there. Any guesses as to who will actually play the concert in Vegas for the fans?
Danny Gans is dead, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't rule him out.
I was going to say that I'm still going to go with Danny Gans.
You go with Danny Gans, okay. I'm going to go with Toni Braxton because she needs the
money. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miss Braxton, which, by the way, 4 feet tall. She's actually 4 feet tall, but it's all sexy. For, like, the world's sexiest midget, Toni.
But in terms of sex density. She's off the charts.
Yes, seriously. She's like a neutron star of 1993 sexiness.